This is Cat's Podcast, episode number 16. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the show today. I'm Cat, your host. I'm super happy to have you here. Thank you so much for tuning in. As you know, we are talking all about freedom, empowerment, and reconnection in this podcast. And these times lately, the challenges that came up with COVID and all that's happening in the world, it's affecting all of us. It's affecting all of us, and I think we are all trying to get through these times the best we can. And that's why I'm here with my guest today. My guest is Kellen Brookman, and we're gonna talk about navigating change and uncertainty with the help of Ayurveda. Kellen is a certified Ayurvedic health practitioner, holistic lifestyle coach, yoga teacher, and writer. She helps people achieve their health and wellness goals and align their career goals with their heart's passion and soul's mission. She's also a writer and Ayurvedic lifestyle expert for well-known brands. And she is here with us today to explore how these times of change and uncertainty we're in right now can impact our bodies, minds, and emotions. A lot of things can overwhelm us or stress us more easily than usual at the moment, and we might fall into so-called stress or tension patterns more often than usual. And we might not even notice that. We might maybe feel something's off, but we might not even see that we have a certain stress in our body or in our mind. And when Kellen first told me about a couple of these patterns and how they manifest in the body, a dozen light bulbs went on for me. Does jaw clenching sound familiar to anyone? If so, make sure you stay tuned. So we look at all of this from an Ayurvedic perspective and use this ancient health system to give you practical tips on how to navigate these times with more ease and energy and positivity. And this conversation is also part of part two of a series of podcast episodes where we explore natural rhythms. You know, rhythms like the lunar cycle, daily energy cycles, the seasons, and how tuning into these cycles can help us go through life and through challenging times with more flow and energy and health and joy. Or simply put, overall more in flow and naturally empowered. And before we dive in, I have one more special announcement to make. I'm proud and very happy to announce my second official sponsor. It's the Dutch Health Store. The Dutch Health Store is an online store for natural and organic skin and body care, as well as other health products. I came across them a few years ago, and it's really my favorite place in Europe to get facial oils, essential oils, and tonic herbs. And I've been partnering with them, writing articles for them for a while, and now they said yes to supporting this podcast and my mission as sponsor. All their brands and products are carefully selected by Wilma Beuving, CEO and co-founder of the Dutch Health Store. And what I love most about the products is really that they are truly natural. Did you know that when you go to a drugstore or look for natural products at an organic supermarket, for example, there still can be so many non-natural or potentially harming ingredients in there, hidden in the products? I found this a pretty eye-opening experience when I first dove into natural skin and body care. And at Dutch Health Store, you can really be sure that you get an amazing quality and that all products are really all natural. And two of my current favorite products are the Everybody Loves the Sunshine Oil and the Geranium Essential Oil. I'll put a link to them in the show notes. And you can go to dutchhealthstore.com to have a virtual stroll, to have a look what they have in store. And also, when there's something you like to buy, make sure you use one of the links below or on my website. So that's the links in the show notes. And like this, you can get 5% of your first order. 5% of your first order through one of those links. And the code for this is simply Catherine. It's my full first name. It's K-A-T-H-R-I-N. And just so you know, these links here and on my website are affiliate links, which means that I get a little percentage of the purchase value, but for you, the price is the same as you see it on the Dutch Health Store website. It simply means that by using it, you help me sustain myself and support this podcast, and I'm super thankful for that. So make sure you use the code Catherine or Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-I-N at checkout so you get 5% off your first order. And now let's dive into today's conversation. Welcome to my podcast, Kellen. I'm super happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Kat. Happy to be here.
Yes, you made it through various gas stations and now you're sitting in one of your friends' closets, right?
That is correct. The route here, it was a little bumpy, literally, here in the western suburbs of Detroit. Lots of potholes in the streets, and realized my tank wasn't full enough to get me to where I had to go, and stopped at a gas station. And they, if you use debit, you have to come inside. And so I didn't want to go inside and did what they call a Detroit left and found another gas station. And I felt myself getting a little frustrated, but then I just thought, well, you know, settle into it, because it's what's happening right now is we're all experiencing bumps on the road and reroutes and, you know, having to, you know, adjust to all these changes. So it was a good reminder for me.
And a good reminder for what we're here today to talk about, I guess. I have the feeling that at the moment, so many people are feeling scattered or overwhelmed, and it's a very intense time, and it started a couple of months ago, but I have the feeling it is definitely still continuing, and it will be here. It will accompany us for a good while. And I guess that's why it's so important to talk about the time we're in and the things that are happening and looking at it from various perspectives that can help us guide and navigate through these times. And this episode today is actually part of a series I just started. So it's part of the series where we look at natural cycles or natural rhythms and how tuning into them can help us live better, you know, with more energy and joy and health and overall more in flow, but also how tuning into these natural rhythms can help us go through challenging times with more ease and calm. And that's where we are. We're in a challenging time. And I've talked about it for the first time in episode number 13 with Shannon Hugman. And now you're here for the second edition of this little series. And today we're going to look at things from an Ayurvedic perspective. So we use the lens of Ayurveda to help us navigate the uncertainty and, well, the uncertainty of this time and the change and everything that's going on, and hopefully show you guys out there how you can go through this time with a more positive focus and more empowered, and also with a new understanding for what's going on. Before we dive into the topic, let's build an understanding for Ayurveda and the doshas, because this is crucial to understand the rest of the conversation. What do we need to know to be able to look at the situation we're having right now from an Ayurvedic perspective?
Sure. So Ayurveda, the Sanskrit word, Ayurveda is a holistic health system that is rooted in India, over 5,000 years old. And the word is two words. Ayu means life, and Veda means study of. So it's the study of life. And everything that you just mentioned in the intro there is where I feel like people are at as an individual and as the collective. We're all of a sudden, you know, by being paused from life pre-COVID coronavirus to now, it's this stopping and looking at, well, hey, what's going on? So by using the principles of Ayurveda, we can do that pause, getting curious, and curiosity comes because there's a desire to pause and be aware of what's going on, right? And so what I feel like Ayurveda has to offer right now for people is a way to bring curiosity back to the equation, because things are different. And for me, like just with the gas station, was I had to re-navigate, like you said. And in sailing, for instance, I know I'm kind of going all over the place right now, but I promise you I'll bring it back. But in sailing, there's the term dead reckoning. And if you're, it's like tacking. And right now, with so much uncertainty on the global scale, the community scale, within the homes, there's so much change. Every day, we're kind of dead reckoning, right? And so dead reckoning when you're sailing is, you know, you want to go from A to B, but then all of a sudden you have to tack back and forth based on changes in the winds or ocean currents. You know, could be just, you know, changes in a storm coming up. And so right now, every day, it feels like dead reckoning, whether it's navigating for gas stations, going into the grocery store, navigating childcare while working at home, or, you know, how to integrate back into office situations. And I feel like once I realized that, hey, this is the way life's going to be right now, I was able to like surrender to what is. And then through that awareness and curiosity, be like, okay, how can I move through this? And in what tools, because you talked about, you know, how do we empower ourselves right now? And Ayurveda has these beautiful tools because it helps us understand life, right? The study of life. What you mentioned about just being able to understand it in terms of, you know, the three doshas is important, because, you know, we are made up of the same elements as the universe is made up. The space, the air, the fire, the water, the earth elements. And in nature, we see those elements, they're always interacting with each other. We see the wind move the earth element of tree branches. Right now in Tucson, there's the fires, the fire element burning the earth element. Let's see, when I was in California, there was the Montecito mudslide, and it was the water element moving the earth element. There's all these ways the elements are always interacting with each other in the universe and then within ourselves too, right? So Ayurveda takes the five elements and groups them into what we call the three doshas, the vata, the pitta, and the kapha.
Can you quickly say those five elements again, just for everyone to have an overview? Yes.
So it's so we start with the most subtle element. That's the space element. And, you know, the quality of space is it allows for expansion, right? And it also allows for communication. If there's not enough space, like in one's relationship, sometimes we feel like we're suffocating, right? If there's too much, we start to feel a little anxious. And I mean, right now, the space element, it is like front and center on the macrocosm with the coronavirus, right? 6 feet. And so right now, we're all in this element of navigating space. Yeah, and it's the most subtle element as well. And right now, I'm in a closet, and it's maybe like, I don't know, 12 by 10. But it feels, I know, it feels really cozy.
You're adapting.
I'm adapting, I know. The Vata in me, because Vata types who are made up of air and space tend to either get claustrophobic if there's too little space, or if there's too much space, they can get a little insecure. So this feels super cozy. I feel like I'm in this little cave. You know, after driving some of the, you know, it's just a half hour drive, but the Detroit expressways, and I just feel like I'm bunkered down right now. It feels really good.
So if there's anyone asking now, why are you hiding in a closet? It's because it's just calmer or more quiet there than in your own house. And that's why you, for this interview, went to a friend's place, right?
Right. For recording issues, I came here, but then the added bonus was it feels really cozy. So with the elements, one of the most interesting space elements we've all gone through as humans is womb to childbirth, because we're in the womb, we're in this warm, cozy, nurturing space, and then within, you know, hours or more hours, you know, we're pushed through the space of the birth canal into outer space. I mean, for a baby, a hospital or a home delivery, when you enter into the other side, that's, we might as well be like going up into space ourselves. I mean, if you can imagine, right? So that's why they swaddle babies when they come out, or they bring them straight to the mother's chest, is for that comfort, right? And that's what we all kind of need to do right now. We are all navigating new spaces. And so what I encourage listeners to do, when you feel spacey, right, and there's anxiety, uncertainty, put a beanie on your head. I've had clients before when I lived in Albuquerque, and I said, sleep in your sleeping bag for a night. You're kind of swaddled. On the flip side of that, because there's always different sides of the same coin of space, there's a lot of people that are stuck at home with their whole entire family. And they're like, I need some space here, right? And so being aware of that when you start to feel claustrophobic and maybe irritated.
Get outside. That's so nice that you're mentioning both sides of the coins, because that's what we're talking about later on as well. You know, how it manifests in different types of us. And I think that was a perfect example, you know, having this space element, but then seeing, okay, it could be on one hand, having the need for something more cozy and more tight in a way. And on the other hand, people could feel the urge to have more space and to just not be in that sleeping bag or in that very confined space or almost a box-like environment with lots of people. Well, lots of people, for example, your family.
Yeah, so that space element's the most subtle. And then you've got the second element is air. You know, the wind. In the body, it's the breath. We've got the fire element, the sun, actual fire. The water element is, you know, anything from creeks to rivers to lakes. And the earth element is the trees, the rocks, the mountains, the grass. Those are all on the macro level. And then Ayurveda looks at everything on the micro level as well, because that's what Ayurveda is. It's the study of life. And 5,000 years ago, the rishis, the first Ayurvedic physicians, you know, just studied what was going on in nature and how the elements acted and interacted, and realized that those same actions and principles apply to the human body, our physiology, and just, and you know, all the vital functions in the body. So on the micro level, the space element in the body is all the space of the intestinal tubing, the space in the ear, the space in the skull, the sinuses. The sinus cavities are a perfect example. And the air is the breath. The fire is our digestive fire. Water is synovial fluid, or tears, saliva. And the earth elements are bones, our muscles, the fat, the hair, the teeth. So those are the five elements in the body. And then Ayurveda will take those five elements and group them into those doshas, the vata, the pitta, and the kapha. So the vata is the air and the space element. It's the most subtle of the three doshas. Pitta is fire and water, and water as an oily substance in the body. So it's would be the bile and the liver, or the digestive juices in the stomach. The fire in your eyes. There's pitta that's also in the eyes. And then the kapha dosha is the elements of water and earth. And so for kapha, it's the, you know, the muscles, it's the bones. It's the bones that encompass the rib cage, protecting the heart, the skull, protecting the brains. Those elements, right? Because the elements are always interacting with each other. So that means the doshas are also always interacting with each other.
So taking the elements, now you were talking about the doshas. So the doshas are the different manifestations we can have as humans, right? So
right, okay.
There might be one person who is a more of a pitta type, and one person more of a kapha type, and this refers to the body, the mind, and the spirit, right?
Yes, it does. So our Ayurvedic constitution is set at birth. You know, we are who we are. Everyone has all the five elements in their being, their physical being, and then the mental being. Yet everyone has different ratios of those five elements. And the same thing with the three doshas, vata, pitta, or kapha. We all have vata, pitta, and kapha in the body, because those doshas represent not just the physical matter that makes us, but the functioning as well. Those doshas all relate to form and function in the body.
Could you give an example for like a typical vata type, a typical pitta, a typical kapha type of a person? Sure. Because you said, or we know now, okay, everyone has everything inside of them. All doshas, all elements, but there's always a predominant dosha or a predominant type, right? So,
So the vata type person, because vata, air and space, is the most subtle of the elements, and qualities of air and space is mobile, subtle, dry, and let's just go with those. I don't want to overwhelm people. So a Vata type person is going to have a more subtle body frame, taller, thin. They're going to have maybe longer limbs. The mobile quality shows up. They tend to walk and talk faster. They might be a little fiddle faddle when they get nervous, like, you know, tapping their toes or maybe rubbing their hands together when they get nervous. The Vata type, they have really quick intellect. They're very imaginative, a little bit of a daydreamer, right? Because that's the space element. Mm-hmm. But if we look at the Vata people in my life, they're the musicians, they're the painters, dreaming and imagining things, the writers. So that's the Vata type in balance. Now,
so artist type
mention out of balance. Right? What's that?
Go I ahead. Said artist type of persons, right?
Yes. Yes. Intuitives, you know, I just worked with a client last week. Vata is secondary, but she's in a perfect career for her. She does spiritual astrology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we are who we are. And when we realize, like, wow, these are the gifts I came in as a Vata person, and, you know, society might say, well, get a real job, you know, and go to business school and do poetry or writing as a hobby. For a Vata person, you know, they would, that is their life. That is their career, to be an artist. You know, not all Vata types are, but, you know, for that's just naturally the Vata type is very, very creative.
Mm-hmm. And compared to that, how's the Pitta?
So the Pitta type person with that fire and the water, oily type water element. A Pitta person is going to have a little more muscle mass to them, right? Because they have a little more of the denser elements than a Vata, air and space type would. So strong muscles. They might have a little reddishness to their complexion. They could even have red hair, like that fire, orange, red hair, a Pitta type. Their features are tend to be like in the face, just more chiseled, like maybe like a sharper angled nose. Dr. Lod, my primary teacher of Ayurveda, he said one time with the Pitta types that he said, now, no disrespect, but, God spends a little more time on those Pitta types with their chiseled faces, you know, the jaws and the nose. And we all had a good laugh on that. So that's physically, they, because they have that fire element in them, they will tend to have sweating a little more easier. Because there's that heat that they have inside. They have strong digestion, strong fire. They have an iron stomach. They can eat anything. And mentally, though, they have a very sharp intellect. They are very quick to have discernment for analyzing and for comprehension. My Pitta type clients they tend to be, professional organizers or athletes, very successful corporate business type people. They're very courageous and brave. Right now we're seeing Pitta types, those folks that are, standing up for humanitarian rights and protests. Those tend to be the more Pitta types. The folks that are in animal rescue, the PETA going out there, you know, helping the animals. Those are classic Pitta types.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So determined, very structured, I guess, as well, and very high achieving, right?
High achieving, very structured.
Natural lovers of to-do lists and
very much. So like the Vata type person is just going to have a bunch of sticky notes all over the place, and they're going to have, their system might not seem like a system, but it makes sense to them. The Pitta person, all their notes are probably on their phone in one place. Their pantry is organized, the spices in alphabetical order. They're very much about systems. It's the engineers of the world.
That's a nice term. I like that notion, engineers of the world. Okay, and then we have the Kapha type, third one.
Oh, lovely Kaphas. Our Kapha types, water and earth elements. And the Kapha type person, physically, because they have more of the water and the earth, their bone structure is going to be, definitely larger than the Vata, the Pitta types. Their hair is thick, like nice oily sheen. Their skin tends to be thicker as well, where the Vata, being subtle, will have thinner skin. The Pitta skin might have freckles, right, because of the sun, the heat, fire. And the Kapha is just smooth, oily skin. Their voice of a Kapha person, it's like Oprah Winfrey is like the quintessential, well, she's has Pitta in her, but her Kapha shows up in just her beautiful complexion, her hair, her voice, smooth and steady, embracing. Mm-hmm. Kapha types walk slow, they talk slow, they're very thoughtful, and some people might think they're cautious, but they're very reflective as how they move through life in general. They're emotionally, their highs aren't too high, their lows aren't too low, because they're being earth element. Earth is a steady, stable element compared to air, which is always moving. So these Kapha types, I strongly encourage Vata and Pitta types, make sure you have at least two Kapha types in your life. They will help you ground. They'll help you calm, help you cool down. Very much so. Yeah. Right. I mean, right now, just if we look at what's, everything that's happening globally and all these different realms, Ayurveda, I feel like it's such a beautiful way to have people just awaken to like who they are and like how they can best create health and harmony in their life, but also how can we do that for our families, for our communities, for our worlds. Because you can see just by sharing these doshas where a Vata type, how can we make this system, whether it's childcare or the healthcare system, better in our world right now? The Pitta types, well, let me figure that out. I've got a plan. Here's the system, and we'll draw this out and come up with a plan, right? The Kapha types, like classic Kapha types are nurses, philanthropists, just they're beautiful humanitarians. I mean, not that a Vata person can't be, or a Pitta type, but I'm going really general with this.
Yeah, of course. But I think we need that just to create a general understanding. And of course, we're exaggerating at certain points, but to get an image into our heads what we're talking about. And I think your Oprah Winfrey example was perfect. So I think we all have a basic understanding now of the three different types, the three different doshas, and we have a feel for which type we might predominantly be, if we're more of a Pitta or more of a Vata or more of a Kapha type. And now, based on this new knowledge of the doshas, we want to dive into stress and tension patterns, because in the situation we're in right now, in this time of change and uncertainty and unknowingness and infused with a lot of fear, there might be more things triggering ourselves or stressing ourselves. And you were talking about specific stress and tension patterns that pop up for each of the types. And I find that very helpful to create the awareness of where there might be stress in our bodies or in our mind and how we can overcome that. So if you can speak to that.
Yes. So what you just said with that, there's that fear right now, and that's that Vata dosha. And just bringing it back for three sentences, how the macro and the micro interact with each other. So the micro, we're going to look at the three doshas, the Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha, and how stress and tension is showing up. But just for a moment, for the macro, so people can get like the bird's eye view, what's happening now is fear, that wind element of fear and anxiety, is pushing, moving on to the Pitta dosha. So just like wind will fan the flames of a campfire and ignite more fire, that's happening on the macro level, where we see that through the protests. You know, folks are saying that, you know, these are unjust systems right now. So there's also, besides fear, there's a lot of anger happening here too. And it's all really natural, just as it's as natural for wind on a forest fire is going to spread that forest fire. Right now, we're seeing that spreading of those, that the Pitta element too. Okay. So diving into each of those three doshas right now, so people can get a better understanding of how stress and tension is showing up in their body and their minds. And then I'm going to offer tips, you know, tips that are going to be easy and effective, so that they can move through all this in a state of greater ease and health. So for that Vata, so for that, yeah, that Vata type, the air and the space element, you know, the tension pattern for a typical Vata person is worry and fear. I mentioned it earlier, but, you know, the Vata types with space, if they might be feeling like they are claustrophobic being at home, or that because so much has changed, they're feeling overwhelmed, you know, maybe even a little paranoid at all the uncertainty that's happening. So one thing for folks to check is, you know, checking your posture throughout the day. And so for a Vata type, the posture is going to be more of like rounded shoulders, because when we're fearful, we kind of tuck into a little shell, right? A Vata type might also be experiencing shortness of breath and heart palpitations, because Vata governs the movement of the body. It's respiration. Mentally, in the mind, Vata types are going to feel more like they have poor focus and concentration. Vata types, natural multitaskers, but too much multitasking is creating a sense of not being able to finish anything, right?
I'm jumping in here like this, but that sounds so familiar. And I know there are, I've talked to so many people who are experiencing exactly that, this lack of focus, the having this scattered mind, having a thousand things on their minds, but not getting around to one thing, or not getting around to one thing properly. And I feel that this time is just leveling that up, bringing the Vata to a more intense state of Vata, or how would you describe it?
It does. You touched exactly on an Ayurvedic principle of like increases like, and opposites pacify. So it's a blessing and a curse for a Vata person to be at home, because you feel cozy and safe in your home, you're sheltered, but then there's all these instant distractions, right? That you couldn't do at work. Like your coworkers would call you out if you just kept getting up every once in a while and started, you know, fiddle faddling, you know, different parts of your office space. But at home, it's so easy to just, oh, I'm up, I might as well just, you know, organize the pantry shelves or something, or, you know, do some, whatever. Like, they get distracted with your phones. And so, yeah, a Vata person right now, you know, that multitasking and not finishing anything is definitely happening on those for the Vata types.
So what would be your tips for a Vata type? And the scenario you just described reminds me of working in a home office and you're not getting around to doing your actual work because you're here and there doing this and that in your house. So I think if someone is experiencing that on a high level, it's likely that they are Vata type, dealing with increased Vata, right?
Right. So Vata, in order to be efficient, because space and air disperses into space, goes beyond and beyond and beyond. So Vata types need structure to be efficient. It's like energy efficient windows. It's air compressed into two plates of glass. That's what makes energy efficient windows efficient. So Vata types need their structures. I would encourage them to set, you know, blocks of time where they are going to be doing their work, and stick with that. Have the phone in a different room, because it's too easy to, you know, reach for it if it's right next to you. And the next thing you know, you're just kind of swept away in the space of Instagram or, you know, emails. So physically, that's what one can do with their environment. For their body, grounding yoga poses, actually physically getting on the ground. There's some days where my yoga practice is just lying on my mat, on my back or my belly, and doing poses like child's pose, reclining twists, sphinx pose, anything that where I feel like I'm just melting into the ground, I'm being supported by the ground. It's an energetic thing. Getting outside as well right now. The weather is warm, doing it next to a tree, on the lawn, just as long as you don't start pulling weeds and doing other things like that, you know, after you take your yoga break. But just anything grounding, because it's the opposite of the air and the space element. Opposites pacify in Ayurveda. So for the mind with Vata, because Vata is always in their mind, thinking, overthinking, daydreaming, wondering, calming breathing practices. There's a bee's breath that's actually, it's on my website too, if you can give the folks the link to that. It is instant calming for Vata types, because the bee's breath pranayama releases positive endorphins, the serotonin, the melatonin, all of those calming, grounding endorphins that we all need, but Vata types especially right now, because there is so much change, there's so much movement, there's so much uncertainty. So that, and then I've also been giving myself and clients like a mantra, because you spoke earlier of, you know, what can we do to anchor? And, you know, words and thoughts can direct us one way or another, right? And so we want to direct ourselves to a place of hope and certainty and positivity as we navigate through these changes. So a mantra for a Vata person would be, by returning to breath, inner peace grounds me in trust. Trust being very grounding for all of us, right? Trust or faith. So those are tips for the Vata type.
Would it be repeating this mantra that you just say? Would it be repeating, or would it be writing it down, or what would you suggest?
Both. I pick a mantra for the week. It's like a place that both navigates me. A mantra will navigate me through the week, and then it will ground me when I feel like I am off in the weeds. Or been swept away. Yeah.
Can you repeat that mantra again so listeners can memorize it?
So for Vata, by returning to breath, inner peace grounds me in trust.
Nice. I like that one. And is there also something Vata types could do on the food front? So could they eat anything in specific that helps them ground more or less instantly?
For Vata types, eating warm cooked foods, foods that are actually grown underground, so carrots, beets, parsnips, very grounding for Vata types. Keeping your meals regular. Don't let the Vata get hungry, because that creates that spaciness feeling. Vata types, it's best to avoid or moderate with dry, crunchy, munchy, light type foods. It is summertime, so we're all eating a little lighter than the winter months. But for Vata in general, again, this is always in general, work with an Ayurvedic, you know, practitioner to get more specific, because you know, everyone has different digestive needs. But in general, warm, cooked, grounding foods.
It's interesting that you're saying that, because probably it's a clear sign that I'm a big part Vata. But in my podcast, in the solo show episode number 10, it is, I'm talking about five ways to calm down and to create headspace, but also to anchor yourself, and having cooked, warming, grounding meal at least once a day was really part, or still is part, of my routine. But a couple months ago in New Zealand, when things were really crazy, I needed that. That was one of my pillars to ground myself. So I love that you're also referring to that. And also very interesting, and I've highly interesting that you point that out as well, because that's something, or an experience I've made myself as well, is not snacking or sticking to regular mealtimes. And I feel like I'm a natural snacker. I love to snack all the time, but I know that it does not help me to focus, and it does not help me to create contentment. Whereas when I'm sticking to my meal times and eat enough to be able to go through the next 3, 4, 5 hours, I'm much more in balance and feeling much better. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out.
You're welcome. Yeah, you want those meals to actually be meals, so that they not only sustain your body's hunger, but they sustain the focus of being able to do the task at hand for, you know, be focused for a few hours and then take that lunch break to eat lunch. So yeah, it helps exactly. The body and the mind. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's such a good time now. I think, well, I know in Germany where things are starting to open back up, people are going back to the offices. I think it's still quite different in the US, but still, I think it's a good time where people are still at home for a lot of the time to be able to feel into that, to take the time to feel into that, to see, okay, when am I getting hungry or what am I eating? What helps me to survive basically on a meal for longer? What helps me stay focused and just play around with a few things, try new things and see what works for you? And I think we're in a perfect time to do that at the moment.
It is a perfect time. It's a time of great uncertainty, and yet it's also a time of a great opportunity to pause and reflect and take care of the microcosm, the oneself. And by doing so, like you said, we have all this time and space at home still in the States. And so to make those changes, you know, and Ayurveda looks at, you know, daily self-care rituals, but done over weeks, months, years, you know, it is lifelong benefits. And so now's the time to start, you know, for folks that are still at home, it's a wonderful opportunity to invest in self-care rituals.
I think so too. Let's move on to the next dosha, the Pitta, and the stress and tension patterns for Pitta and the solutions Ayurveda can offer.
Yeah, so for the Pitta, it's the fire and the water element, and those tension patterns tend to be feelings of being critical, impatient, just angry, and we see that now. We see that in, you know, the macrocosm with society right now. Righteous anger, but yet still, it's that Pitta dosha that we're seeing. And for the individual, you know, a Pitta type person in the body, and it's also just, we're entering here in the States, you know, the Pitta season, which is the summer season. So like increases like, there's more fire in the nature, and those Pitta types are going to get easily heated up, body or mind. So in the body, like a Pitta person, again, awareness towards oneself when one starts to feel a little irked, right? A little, just a tiny bit of stress. In Ayurveda, we call it the warning bells. When you hear those warning bells, a Pitta person, this is what you want to look for. You want to look for any type of clenching in the jaw, any type of like the fists clenching. I have some clients that are Pitta types that they clench their fists. And if you think about
interesting,
the fists, yeah. I know, right? But the fists are for fighting. Like, I mean, we don't want to fight, but like that is the position of if someone's, you know, punching somebody, you draw your hands into a fist. So that's a common Pitta tension pattern.
So jaw or fist.
That tense, that tension will go there.
Yeah. And is that something that your clients tell you at the moment? Are they talking about that often or mentioning that? Or how do you detect that, basically, that there's more in that direction going on?
If we're doing a Zoom, there's some things I can see some tension patterns, like say with the jaw, but I'll ask that this day and age, you know, doing something over the phone or over Zoom, like, you know, where do they notice that they store their tension in their body. It could be the back, you know, too, can be an area, that mid back or mid to low back for the Pitta type, where those digestive organs are. That's what I found with Pitta clients. They'll have some back tension as well. It's a great question. The other place, the Pitta types, because the function of Pitta in the body is transformation through the digestive system, is there, you know, Pitta types right now, they might be having more acid indigestion, acid reflux. Be aware of that for the Pitta types. Could be eczema, psoriasis flare-ups right now can be happening with Pitta, because there's so much internal fire, heat in the body that, you know, that the skin will get affected. And then in the mind for Pitta types is irritation, anger, getting bossy, those are all signs of excess Pitta in the mind.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
Yeah.
That's super interesting. And I think it's very, people can really relate to that, because I'm sure all of us have experienced one or the other thing. But can you say that there's first the tension or the stress in the mind and then in the body, or can it also be the other way around? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. Both. It can be both, because, you know, someone could have acid indigestion because, you know, a Pitta type, remember, like attracts like too. So a Pitta types, they tend to be the ones that love, you know, the spicy foods, the chili peppers and the hot sauce, and those cause more internal fire. So it, you know, the excess Pitta could be due to, you know, what one is putting into the body, but then also the mind. So like the Pitta types right now, I would advise them to, you know, be cautious how much they're mentally ingesting when it comes to the news, especially the news that causes those Pitta reactions of, you know, wanting to debate something, you know, something that's going to trigger their anger. You know, moderate those types of mental activities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good tip.
Yeah.
And you go.
Yeah. Because there is that mind body connection, you know, for sure. Like what you asked, is there's always that play between the mind and the body. I mean, the simplest way I just thought of it right now is there's just that episode of Grey's Anatomy when they were nervous about a surgery, but they assumed the superhero pose, right? And so when the body changes into that superhero pose, you've all of a sudden, it's like, there's confidence that comes into the mind, right? So thought creates biology. And so it's as important for folks to look at what they're ingesting into the mind as they are what they're ingesting into their bodies. Because when we talk about cycles, Kat, like what we are talking about, there is that cycle between what we're putting into the mind affects the body. Likewise, what we're putting into the body is going to affect the mind.
Yeah. Makes total sense. And I love that you're pointing that out, and that we all get more aware of that fact that everything's interconnected. Mm-hmm. So for Pitta types, what food would you suggest to be able to navigate these times better and more in balance?
Yeah, Pitta types. I feel you guys right now, because it's the season of Pitta. So thankfully, Mother Nature, we talk about the macro and the micro and how nature is always looking at a way to come back into like balance or harmony. So nature provides a bounty of pitta pacifying foods right now. And it's the fruits of watermelons, melons, like cantaloupe melons, cherries, the sweet cherries, plums, the greens. Any greens are bitter, and the bitter taste is cooling. So favoring those types of foods, staying hydrated, having some lime and coconut in the water right now. Both lime is cooling, coconut is cooling. Anything that's cooling is going to help pitta digestively and also mentally right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those types of foods, you know, especially at that pitta high noon of the day too, you know, in the summertime, we want to favor, you know, everyone, you know, favor cooling foods in the summertime, but mostly pitta types. The other thing with pitta too is, I feel like, you know, just the relief tips besides foods, getting in water, swimming, you know, if you're near a water source, if not, just, you know, taking a shower, a midday shower, a cool shower to cool the body, or even just soaking the feet, putting the feet in, you know, a tub of cool waters is going to lower the heat in the body.
And that's so simple, right? It's one of the easiest mm-hmm. things. And we, in these modern times, we always forget the simple things. I was just touching on that with Mason Taylor from Superfeast also in episode number 14 of my podcast. And he's looking at things from the Taoist, the ancient Chinese perspective. And, you know, when you're cold or you tend to be cold or you're out in the wind and the water all day, just make sure you keep yourself warm, or you're putting on a scarf when you go out into the wind, or you're not walking with bare feet on cold tiles. And just these super simple things that our grandparents were well aware of, but that we forgot. And that example just reminded me of that.
It's a beautiful example. And it's Ayurveda, you know, the Ayurveda, the Chinese medicine, you know, the home remedies that, you know, my grandmother and her mother had, you know, those are all rooted in those ancient holistic health systems. And it's beautiful to see a resurgence of them, because there's so much empowerment and comfort in knowing how to really take care of oneself on a day-to-day basis with those simple, easy. But then just to remember too, just because something's easy doesn't mean, or let me put in the positive, things that are easy are also effective. And that is the magic and the science of Ayurveda, for sure, like what you said. Yeah, they're so easy. And they work.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
And moving on to kapha. What are the patterns here, and what are the solutions in these chaotic times at the moment?
Kapha, yes, our lovely kapha. Do you want me to give you the mantra for pitta too, though, before? I did write a mantra for pitta.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Yes, please.
Okay. All right. For pitta, because remember, our pitta types, their strength is structure and coming up with solutions and being organized. And so when there's change and uncertainty, that's challenging for them, because they want to be able to control something, right? To change something. And sometimes change requires a surrender and waiting. So for pitta, this is your mantra: by allowing the situation to unfold, ease and new possibilities appear. That keyword is ease. Pitta types need to lighten up. I'm equal Vata Pitta, and one of my mantras is from Ghostbusters. I love Bill Murray, and he's so, you know, his characters have been just prime examples, I think, of like Buddhism and just very, you know, Zen-like. But there's that line, you know, lighten, or this is Stripes, not Ghostbusters, Stripes, lighten up, Francis. And I'll say that to myself, because Pitta will get intense about something. And so when I catch myself, jaw clenched, feeling a little hot, trying to control something, I'll say, you know, lighten up, Francis. Just ease. So either mantra, use a Bill Murray one or the other one. But
yeah, I love that. It reminds me of something that I remind myself of and that I've posted about. It's that when you allow yourself to loosen that grip, you know, when you allow yourself to not to hold on too tightly, automatically or naturally there's space opening up and things will ease up, and it's almost magical what's happening in that moment. And that for me right now, I'm making the connection to the jaw clenching in the head or the fist clenching, and it's like, yeah, it's literally easing up and not gripping too tightly. And I love that.
I do too. Thank you for that letting, opening up, that letting go.
A collective moment of silence to let that sink in.
Silence is powerful.
It is.
Yeah, it's that space.
Yeah. And that's the perfect bridge to talk about Kapha, I guess, which is probably the most balanced, most quiet one, maybe, of all the doshas. Well, you are the expert. Talk about Kapha.
For sure. Kapha, because of its just inherent nature, a Kapha-type person having more of the earth and the water element, is that more stable, smooth, easygoing nature. They, like I said before, their highs aren't too high, their lows aren't too low. However, Kapha, when in an attention pattern, or when, you know, Kapha gets out of balance, and, you know, this might be the type of scenario a Kapha person's going through right now. When you are stressed and you're at home, maybe, you know, too much of, you know, the eating of sweet foods, because sweet pacifies the Kapha dosha. They have a natural affinity to the sweet taste just as much as Pitta types love the spicy foods and Vata types like the salty, crunchy foods. So the Kapha types attention pattern, because they're so go with the flow, sometimes they can avoid situations. You know, they're the natural peacemakers in relationships or business environments. But sometimes that heavy earth quality can create stagnation, where I call it like surf and turf, where they couch surf during the day and sleep, you know, too long in their beds. You know, they'll sleep way past, you know, 9 o'clock or something. And so that stagnation can just cause, you know, lethargy in their body and in the mind. The mind can get a little dull or depressed. You know, maybe they're watching too much, you know, Netflix or, you know, Hulu or whatever that is. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? They get a little kind of
so
homebound.
What would be the mental pattern, tension pattern, and what would be the physical, the bodily pattern?
Yeah. So for Katha, just, you know, noticing if there's just a sense of heaviness in the body, weight gain right now, you know, so Katha types, because they're not maybe naturally inclined to, you know, work out their stress by running, you know, they'll tend to, you know, perhaps gain weight right now. So watching that, and the mind, it's just going to be feeling unmotivated, right? It could be just feeling a little depressed, dull mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know of someone right now where just who's Kapha secondary, but is eating, you know, like a half gallon of ice cream every 3 days, like going through one half gallon of ice cream every 3 days, and just watching a lot of TV, and, you know, that's very like Kapha, and, you know, he's gaining weight as well. So that would be something that how stress could be manifesting in a Kapha type right now.
Yeah. Interesting, because it's so different to the Vata, which is like overstimulated, and the Vata mm-hmm. is basically, could you say understimulated?
Yeah. They just don't, you know, they need like the Kapha types just, you know, need a little more of that, you know, make sure their air dosha or the air element is, you know, helping to balance mm-hmm. out all the earth and the water that they have in their body and in their mind. So
practical tips, what could they do? How could they structure the day? What could they eat? How could they move to get out of that lethargic state?
Mm-hmm. So for Kapha types, this is a great time because there's all this change that's happening. So get on the change train, and getting outside right now. I would suggest for Kapha types, you know, get outside and walk before breakfast. You know, getting up and taking a brisk walk around the neighborhood, it's going to start movement, and then coming back and having your breakfast. It's a great time to start a new exercise routine. You know, Kapha types have those body types that are very sturdy and stout, and you know, pick up bicycling. That's you know, it'd be a good Kapha activity. You know, jogging is great too. Just something new. That's what I would suggest for Kapha types. Get outside, out of your old routines, and try something new. For the mind, more activating type breathing practices, where the Vata and the, you know, wants a more grounding breathing practice. Pitta needs some cooling breathing practices. Kapha needs stimulating, and there's a pranayama, bellows breath, that I have a PDF on my website on that, and bellows breath helps Kapha in a couple ways. It brings the energy levels up, and it also supports the lungs, and the main side of Kapha is actually the lungs. And as we all know right now, you know, the coronavirus is prone to affect the respiratory system, upper and then the lower respiratory system. So I would suggest, you know, all Kapha types, everyone in general, but especially Kapha types, you know, be practicing daily breathing to keep, you know, the lungs clear and strong, and the sinuses mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great. And food wise, is there any specific foods you can recommend?
Yeah, for Kafa's, favoring, they're the ones that would be able to do the crunchy munchy more so than the Vata types, mm-hmm. But salads are great for Kapha types, and moderation for Kapha, would be the heavy, dense sweets, the ice creams, the cookies, the cakes, the chocolates, all of those tend to put weight on the body, but then also they cause what we call excess Kapha, that mucus in the lungs and the sinuses for Kapha more so.
Mm-hmm. What about
Kapha types? Yeah.
What about dairy? Would that increase the mucus and the...
It does. And Ayurveda has a remedy for everything. And, Ayurveda, we always look at favor and moderation or avoid. And that all depends too on, what the season is and what one's, constitution is. But even then, like say for dairy, someone who's Kapha type, have it more midday, have your ice cream. I have to, tell my Kapha people, like, it's not that you can't have ice cream, but have it midday instead of late at night.
So midday because your body is at the peak of digestion midday.
Exactly. Yes. And then what I do is I'll put a little cardamom on the spice cardamom, the ground cardamom on ice cream. And so that gives a little of that fire element. It helps some of the digestive quality of the heat on the ice cream, which is cool, heavy, and dense. So mm-hmm. There's always a remedy for something. And that goes back to Tukat about empowering ourselves, right? And the wisdom of Ayurveda showing us, how, just even eating can be, an adventure into empowering ourselves, because we know, what season is best to eat this or that, what time of the day, what can I pair this food with so that my body stays in that state of health, which is a strong digestion and healthy tissues and a calm, clear mind, a joyful spirit, positivity, hope, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And if people are hooked now, can they go to your website? Do they find offerings? Or if I'm not mistaken, you just launched a new course on food and digestion. Can we link to that?
Absolutely. My website is kellenbrugman.com. And I am seeing clients now via Zoom or telephone. And I do have weekly courses. There's a being at home yoga, which is all about being home in terms of obviously our physical space, but also of the home, but being at home with who we like and within our bodies, within our minds. What does that feel like when we're at home in a state of security, right? Being at home. And mm-hmm. then also on Fridays is meditation and mocktails. And it's a guided breath meditation. And then I'm sharing healthy recipes based on teas and tonics and fruits and vegetables. And right now, just summer season, what types of libations, mocktails are hydrating and nourishing to the body and to the mind. Mm. And
nice. I'm even meditation pulling... and mocktails, right?
Meditation and mocktails, yes.
I love that.
And they're half hour classes. Getting back to that space element, I want to honor you know, people's time. There's a lot of us right now that are working on Zoom now, and we're staying in touch with family, you know, through Zoom or other platforms. And that can be an overwhelming space right now. That space can almost, you know, feel like, oh, I'm always on it. And so it's just half hour. But again, the beauty of Ayurveda, what I've learned and what I've seen, you know, through my clients' transformation, is just little things done daily have profound positive cumulative effects.
Yes.
But I like your idea though. Maybe you were supposed to give me that prompt about, you know, food, and you mentioned a class about food and digestion. So
yeah, I thought you mentioned something like that. But we for sure link to your website, and then people can have a look around and get in touch with you. Just wrapping up Kapha, there will be a mantra for Kapha as well, right?
Oh, for sure. Yes, our Kapha people. They're already so smooth and steady. I'm blessed. Everyone, you know, just needs a, like I said, you know, 1 to 2 Kapha types in your body, or in your body, in your life. So for Kapha though, the mantra would be, by moving forward into change, life becomes more exciting.
That's beautiful too. And I think, honestly, although we were just talking type specific, that could be the overall mantra for these times. That's what I'm feeling personally. This fear, or still this people are hesitant towards the change, because I guess especially in our Western societies, maybe especially in the German mentality, a lot of things are made for eternity. You know, we build our houses for eternity, basically. And I think this is so ingrained in our upbringing and in how we tick. And now getting this new perspective that change is part of our life is such an uplifting thought, and inspiring and hope-bringing thought. So I find that mantra perfect. Can you just repeat it so we can all soak it in one more time?
For sure. By moving forward into change, life becomes more exciting.
Beautiful. And to me, it's almost like a perfect perfect closure mantra almost of today's episode.
It does feel that way. Like, I appreciate you reflecting that back to me, because the intention was specifically for a Kapha person, but I see exactly what, you know, was revealed to you in that. And joy and excitement, I think we'll get there as a collective. You know, right now, yes, there is so much the grief, the anger, the fear, the anxiety, and yet there's what I feel it's an evolution. It's an evolving. It's a change that's evolving for more positivity and more just all the good things, you know, that people right now are desiring on all those levels. And joy and excitement is an energy that also spreads, right? And it's contagious. It's because there's that saying, joy is, isn't it? That saying, that joy is, it's contagious. And, you know, I do see that happening, and you, and as that happens, opportunities, like new opportunities, are inviting us too right now, and arising. So, yeah.
And looking at the whole situation from that perspective, that could be one of the key pieces to break through this collective and individual fear and really turn that around and bring in that positive momentum. And as you just said, the joy and the happiness and the curiosity we were talking about in the beginning. I love that. It's really beautiful. And I do hope that the listeners, you guys out there listening, take some inspiration and some helpful tips out of this. And I hope, and I'm sure you do as well, Kellen, we really hope that you can incorporate them into your daily lives and navigate through these times in a smoother and more joyful and more positive way.
Yes. And just would add to, take baby steps. Just little things done every day, investing in one's self-care is so potent for creating that change that's going to vibrate or ripple out into one's family, one's community, beyond and beyond. It's the thing with, the science has proven that, the butterflies, right, in one part of the world can affect, what is that cat? Is it the airstreams or the waters in another part of the world? There's this interconnectedness right now that I feel is coming more to the forefront. So it's that Ayurvedic, the macro affects the micro and vice versa. So self-care right now, it has a profound effect on the big picture. Because often I think sometimes, myself and other people, like, what can I do to change? I don't, what can I do? But it is those little things that we do, starting with ourselves, that is part of that, this evolution.
And it's great that you're pointing that out, seeing self-care as part of the bigger picture and not as something airy-fairy, woo-woo, that you might do just to feel good. No, it can be a part of or it can contribute to a better world and to a bigger change. And I love that. So thank you so much for your time today and for coming onto my show and contributing this Ayurvedic wisdom and hopefully helping all those people out there to navigate these times in a better way.
You're welcome, Kat. Thank you for having me on your show.
A pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we really hope that you took some Ayurvedic wisdom, some Ayurvedic insights out of this episode that you can incorporate into your daily life now and that helps you go through these times with more ease and empowerment. If you have any comments, any feedback, or any suggestions for upcoming episodes, please write me an email. You can find my email in the show notes or comment or send me a message on Instagram. And as always, I'm super happy if you shared this episode, share it with someone who might benefit from it, who might be a bit stressed or a bit out of their usual ease and flow. So share it with them. Thank you so much for that. And also, if you haven't yet and you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating and a review, because that helps us to inspire more people to listen to this show. Thank you so much. Stay healthy, everyone, and I'll hear you next time.